Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wessex Safety Hour call hosted by Mike King. My name is Tracy, and I'm your event manager. During this presentation, your lines will remain on listen only. If you require assistance at any time, please key star zero on your telephone, and a coordinator will be happy to assist you. I would like to advise all parties this conference is being recorded for replay purposes. And now I'd like to hand over to Mike. Please go ahead.
First of all, thank you all very much for dialing in. I'm going to go through a few statistics to start, not to bore anybody. They have quite good news, and it is that we've had a 70% safety hour attendance last week, which is a pretty good result, I think, overall for the route. So thank you all very much. Make sure that you have a safety conversation with your staff at least once a week, see if we can get that figure up to 80, maybe 90% in the future. We've actually had 76 close calls reported last week, so yet again, another good result for the route. One thing I'd like to reiterate is that close calls are an indicator of hazards that are potentially out there that can cause an accident. We need to make sure that we report them. More importantly, we need to make sure that we close them. And if we can close them at the point at which they are discovered, even better, actually. But clearly, we must do that only if it's safe to do so. So I think we need to reiterate to our staff, everyone, if we can raise a close call, if we spot a hazard, and close it safely at that point, then that removes the hazard immediately, and it can't cause an accident to future staff, our colleagues that come on behind us. And sticking with that theme, really, 41% of our lost time incidents in the route at the moment are for slips, trips and falls. So clearly there's a lot of scrap, there's plenty of hazards at our track side which can contribute to a slip or trip or a fall. And therefore we need to make sure that we spot these hazards, we remove these hazards. If they're reported as a close call, we close them and make the railway a safer place for all of us to work. It seems that to prevent slips, trips and falls should be a fairly straightforward thing. We all walk around every day. It's just been able to spot the hazards before, eliminate the hazards and ensure that we leave the work site clean and tidy for those that follow behind us. Right, excuse me, following on, John Housel has sent us all, bands 1 to 4, a request that we complete our personal safety plans. The deadline for this is the 1st of April. So I would encourage all bands 1 to 4 that are listening to this conversation that they complete, if they've not already done so, their safety plan. The plan needs to make sure that it's got some smart objectives on it. So all I would say is I'd encourage people to ensure that they can deliver what they state on the plan, make sure it's relevant for you, make sure it's relevant for your section, make sure you can achieve what you say that you are going to be able to deliver, and to make sure you can do it in the time scales that you set for yourself. Excuse me. Clearly it needs to be a personal plan, and it's something you can do that can affect yourself and your staff's safety. It will help to improve safety across the route because it will be your plan for you and your staff. They can contribute, they can assist you in making your workplace a much safer place to work in. And this isn't just restricted to on-track. It applies equally to depots, it applies equally to offices. The number of times you can walk around an office and you can see hazards that can be easily removed, and someone's personal safety plan would enable that to happen. So it applies equally to the rock as it does to somebody sat down in Yeovil in an office or working trackside. So as part of the lost time incidents, we've had some slips, trips and falls. And I'm going to go through some of the risks associated with slips, trips and falls. This is quite a straightforward brief. It's not necessarily a brief, but it comes straight from the task risk control sheets, which are in part of our risk control manual. So this is something that we can brief our staff every single day. The risk control manual should be available to everyone. It's something that's easily briefed out, lists a load of really useful information that we can pass on to our staff and use it as a memory jogger, if you like, for briefing. So I'm just going to go through some of the key points that we should consider when we're walking around our infrastructure. Some of them will sound blatantly obvious, and some of them maybe we just need to remind ourselves of. So I'm just going to go through some of the key points on the Switch, Clips and Falls risk control sheet. So the first thing is obvious. It says, observe hazards and warn other members of the team. So that is, if you see a hazard, obviously shout out to your team members to make sure that they don't follow you, trip over the same hazard. Staff should move to a position of safety and not walk about when answering or using telephones. This is common sense, but obviously make sure that you stand well clear of the track, make sure you're in a position of safety, and do not walk around when you're using your telephone. You can become distracted, trip over something, and again, another slip. Do not walk on sleepers. Always step on the ballast. This is quite obvious. Ballast is reasonably firm, reasonably easy to walk on, whereas the sleepers become slippery, especially when they're wet, and especially if they're timber sleepers. It's at worst possible, do not step on manhole covers. You're never sure of the state of the manhole cover. It could be quite, they could have been damaged by something else being placed on them and overloaded. Therefore, they could break under your weight. You don't know what the condition of the manhole cover is underneath. So avoid stepping on manhole covers wherever possible. Also, catch pit covers. You're not sure what the state of those could be. Always wear safety boots. Make sure you've got your safety boots properly laced, and make sure that they are laced for the full height of the boot. Make sure you've also got your steel toe caps and midsole protection. Make sure you've got suitable lighting. Ensure you've got your headlights on if you're working at night. Make sure your headlights have batteries. Maybe carry spare batteries in the van when you're out and about, just in case your batteries fail. Good housekeeping is also another very important thing. We should always keep all the materials in the right place, make sure they're not covering walkways. This also applies to depots and work sites. After you've finished work, remove all your debris, remove scrap materials, take it back to the van, take it back to a collection point where it can be removed safely and effectively. Maintain your access points. Now, obviously, we try and maintain our access points. We have people that clear access points for us, but there is some self-help that we can do. So at the start, maybe, or even at the end of a possession where we've got a little bit of extra time, generally speaking, if it's P-Way, we've got shovels, maybe clear some of the steps if it's needed, maybe clear some of the vegetation, improve the workplace for somebody else. Okay, and moving on, we also have a number of manual handling incidents on the route. So as part of this control sheet, again, there's a very useful document about manual handling. And I'd just like to go through that really just to remind people of how we should assess the load. So we should assess the load, the weight, the bulk, and we should assess site conditions, make sure that where we are, and the load we're going to lift, it's not slippery underfoot. Make sure it's level, maybe it's flat. Make sure you've got the right number of people required to lift the equipment or the materials. Make sure you understand how far you're going to carry it. If it's a very long distance, maybe the team that you have or the one person, it's insufficient. Maybe you need one or two people. Maybe you need more in a team. All people that use manual handling shall be trained in manual handling techniques. So that's something I'll come on to a bit later. Check that the route is free from obstruction. So before you start to lift something and carry it, make sure you've cleared the route and you understand where you're going to take the material from, where you're going to place it, how you're going to place it. Make sure that, for example, if it's a heavy, flat load, that you can place it on something so that your fingers aren't fat once you've placed it on the ground or on the back of the truck or whatever. Yeah. Always wear hand protection. That's gloves, clearly. Something that I had forgotten, and that is a young person, 16 to 18, or new and expectant mothers, are prohibited from handling heavy loads or manually handling heavy loads. So the 16 to 18 year old rule really applies to some of our apprentices. Do we expect them to lift something? Clearly, we should be assessing whether they are old enough and the the load is within the lifting requirements or capabilities of the person. If an individual is handling a load or manual handling a load, they should assess the weight of the load before they lift it. So if you don't know the weight, maybe you need to ask. If it's got the weight on it, you need to look at find the label and see how much that lift or load will be. This also applies to pushing or pulling. You need to assess whether you're capable of moving the load without any assistance. Team manual handling. You should appoint somebody to control the movement. So first of all, you need to have a team leader, someone that's going to give the commands to lift, and that person should give commands of control, such as ready, steady, lift, and make sure that everybody lifts at the same time so you don't overload one person. And again, you need to make sure you've got the approved PPE. Okay, so moving on to manual handling training. There is some manual handling training available. These courses can be booked on Oracle, and they will be at various locations on the route. And its line managers must book their frontline staff on a course by emailing training. There is an email address which I can't, won't try and pronounce over the phone, and staff can self-enroll via the e-business suites. And you can check via Oracle for suitable course dates and locations. And people that need to attend are all frontline staff who have not attended any manual handling training in the last year. And if you are uncertain whether your employee needs manual handling, you can contact Grazia at NetworkRail. And finally, I'd just like to talk about, there's been an incident on Wessex or in Southern, and it's regarding van bolts and tool stores. So what actually happened is a carpenter, he's actually from Osborne's, it wasn't one of our own staff, but it's a contractor working for us. One of our contractors was injured as a result of a van tool bolt lid falling on his hand when he was organising his tools. It caused his hand to be, he had a fractured hand. He's now in plaster for 6 weeks, and this is not the first injury involving van tools, tool bolts. The cause of the accident is that the van bolt piston arm was missing in the middle, and the stay arm was broken. So really what this is saying is that we need to check all of our van bolts and tool stores to make sure they're in good working order, make sure that all the parts are there, make sure that the piston arm and the locking mechanism is in place and works effectively. And that will help us prevent another injury or accident. So for me, that's all I have for today for Wessex Safety Hour. So I think I'll open it up to questions.
Okay, Jessica. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please key star then one on your telephone. Record your name followed by the hash key. If you then decide to withdraw your question, simply key star two. All questions will be answered in the order received and you will be advised when to ask your question. All of the lines will remain on listen only. So just to remind you to ask a question, please ensure your line is unmuted. Key star, then one on your telephone. Record your name, followed by the hash key. Okay, we do have a couple of questions coming in. Your first question comes from the line of
Chris.
Please go ahead.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. PPE, correct PPE. Now, some years ago, I pointed out that many people, including myself, the legs on the PPE are far too long. And they present a trip hazard in themselves. They catch on things like chair bolts and so on and so forth. What I've done with some of the ones I've got is I've put elastic through the bottom, and I suggested why can't they come with facilities for either tying or elasticating the bottom? Because I notice a lot of people do walk around with very tattered cuffs to the trousers. And as I say, they do present a trip hazard.
And did you get any response from anybody when you asked them?
£200 out of it, yeah.
Okay. And you don't believe it was actually taken up by our PPE supplier?
Well, I know it hasn't because I've never seen it done since.
Right.
It's a staff suggestion thing, so they obviously saw some merit in it.
Okay. I will find out for you. How about that?
Okay, then. Right.
No problem.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, there is one further question waiting, but the name hasn't been captured. So if you have queued to ask a question, your line is now open to do so.
Afternoon, Mike. It's Brian. Sorry, phone was on mute, hence no name. Just a quick and easy one. You mentioned earlier on about personal safety plans, and you specifically said bands 1 to 4.
Yeah.
When the note came out, it was sent to bands 5 to 8 as well.
Oh, well done. Well spotted.
can you just clarify who is expected to do these personal safety plans?
It will be... I will, and I think it was band 1 to 4 and 5 to 8. So, yes, everyone that was sent an email by John Housel.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
Cheers, Brian.
Okay, thank you for your questions. There are no further questions waiting.
Lovely, thank you. So we can close the call then.
Okay, thank you, Michael. Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude your conference call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining. Enjoy the rest of your day.